Good morning. Today's daf is Yudalid in Bechoros. We are on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and we got through the Mishnah, the first sugya of the Gemara, and we are halfway down in Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We are starting today with the words Amar Yisrael Bar Nachmeni. The Mishnah over here is the beginning of the main part of the Masechta. The main part of the Masechta is dedicated to the topic of Bechor Behema Tahora, a kosher animal giving birth for its first time, having born to a male animal. So under those circumstances, this firstborn animal is going to have Kedushas Bechor. It's going to be a firstborn in the most classic sense. It is now destined to become a Karban. And you don't have to be Makdish it. We're actually going to be talking a little bit about that later in the Masechta, in terms of what kind of input of Kedusha do you have to give it. Presumably, the simplest answer is no. No input of Kedusha. It's born Kadosh by virtue of the fact that it was born a Bechor. Our perek is the beginning of it. The Gemara asked the question yesterday, how come the first perek opened up with Bechor Behema Tameya, the firstborn of a donkey, which is a non-kosher animal, which is not does not have Kedushas Haguf, but only has Kedushas Damim. So how come the previous perek only opens up with Bechor Behema Tameya? Gemara gave a couple of answers in terms of why that is, but the second answer of the Gemara is because there are not that many halachas as it relates to the firstborn donkey. And so, therefore, you can pack it up into one perek. Okay, we packed it up. The Gemara says shadila. We put it on the side. Okay, and now with that stated, so our Mishnah opened up the same way the first Mishnah in the Masechta opened up, and that's with the discussion of exemption. And the summary of the first Mishnah and the summary of our Mishnah is basically both the following: if there is non-Jewish financial interest in the animal, whether we're talking about the mother, whether we're talking about the offspring, as long as there is non-Jewish financial interest, so that creates an exemption. There's no Kedushas Bechor. That's the point of the Mishnah, that we saw that in the opening Mishnah of our Masechta regarding the firstborn of a donkey, and we saw that in our Mishnah as well. And that is point number one. And so, as long as we're discussing point number one of the Mishnah, so it gets us into really the remainder of yesterday's daf, which we're going to do right now, and that is Kinyanim. So how do you make an acquisition with a guy? And so this is a lengthy discussion of the Gemara. It's going to be almost a full blot of Gemara discussing this. And what do we know? Here's what we know. In terms of an acquisition, creating kinyanim when it comes to Jew to Jew, so there are many different ways to discuss and look at acquisition. We have to talk about acquisition of land. We have to talk about acquisition of movables. Even within movables, what kind of movable is it? Is it one that you could pick up? Is it one that you can slide over? Is it one where basically you're handing the reins from one person to another? So, to say the least, there are many details regarding kinyanim. We are not going to get into the fine print of kinyanim. We're going to have a general discussion in the Gemara regarding how are kinyanim done between Jew to Jew versus how kinyanim is done between Jew and non-Jew. And they are not necessarily going to be the same. In fact, we're going to have a drasha in the course of the sugya that tells us that they are different. Now, of course, whatever you hold regarding Jew to Jew has to then contrast to that of Jew and non-Jew. That's also coming up, so all this is coming up. Now, why are we discussing all this now? Meaning this is really a Kedushin discussion in the beginning of Masechta Kedushin in the first perek. So that is the perek dedicated to Kinyanim. Talks about Kinyanisha, and it also talks about various other Kinyanim as well. So that's true, but in other words, but once we learned our Mishnah regarding an exemption of as long as there's non-Jewish interest in the animal, as long as you've sold parts of the animal to a non-Jew, so if we're talking about the sale of an animal to a non-Jew, so it affords the Gemara an opportunity to talk about how exactly this is accomplished. With all that stated, we go now into the Gemara, and we begin. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yoshia. So the Gemara starts off with a statement by Rabbi Yoshia. Yisrael shenasam also avikochavim bebehemto bidinehem. If I have a Jew that gives money to a non-Jew for an animal, bidinehem, tricky word. It means in their laws or with their laws. Exactly what that means, the Gemara is going to explain. Afa pishalom mashach kana v'chayevus bebechora. So even though there was no mashicha, an acquisition has been done and you're chay bebechora. So, what it certainly sounds like over here is that when the Jew is making a purchase of an animal from a non-Jew, and this animal has not given birth yet, and now the Jew has paid money, money is what effects the acquisition. Period. And even if Mashiach hasn't been done. Now, when it comes from Jew to Jew, so presumably Mashiach is the means of acquisition. But we're talking about the purchase of an animal from a Jew, or I should say, the Jew is purchasing it from a non-Jew, kesef. It is going to be affected with money. What exactly was meant when he said with the words bidinehem? Stay tuned, we're going to discuss. Let's go the other direction. And let's say we go in the other direction, where the non-Jew is now purchasing an animal from a Jew, and now money has been exchanged. Bidinehem, with their laws. Safa pishlo mashach, and even though Mashiach wasn't done, kana. So a kinyan has been affected, upatim and a bechor, and therefore an exemption from bechor, because now the animal is under the ownership of a non-Jew, and so therefore there is no din bechor if and when it gives birth to its firstborn. Period. So in this statement, it's not a brisa. It's said over the name of Rav Oshia, but in this statement of Rav Oshia, what comes out very clearly is the idea that when making a purchase or when doing an acquisition in either direction. But if we're going from Jew to non-Jew, or from non-Jew to Jew, so in either direction, what affects a kinyan is money, period. Mashiach is not at all connected to the acquisition. And now the Gemara is going to discuss what we just learned together. So first, the restatement, now the Gemara analyzes. My bidinehem. What exactly is meant with the words bidinehem? Inema bidinehem degufe. So the Gemara says, well, maybe bidinehem means as follows. Maybe we're comparing and contrasting the purchases of movable items, i.e. an animal, versus the purchasing of a goof, of a body. In other words, we're talking about the transaction of a slave. Da'asu b'kavachomer, im gufe kanalei Yisrael b'kesef. So when it comes to the purchasing of a slave, and how exactly does a Jew acquire a slave? So he acquires it with kesef. How do I know that? Because it says l'reshes achuzah. Because when the Torah is talking about the purchasing of a slave, obviously we're talking here about Neve Kenani. So the Torah says l'reshes achuzah. It is going to be part of your estate. So hikishu akasval achuzah. Now, in terms of being part of your estate, meaning it's like property. And what do we know regarding property? So, just like a property is purchased with money, also shtar and chazaka, right? Shtar is a document. Chazaka is a proprietary act showing that you are, in fact, the owner. So, just like property is acquired in that manner, as per the Mishnah and Kiddushin, which I referenced earlier, so, afeve kanani, nikten bekesef, so too, as it relates to an Evakanani, which the Torah equates to property, is also going to be acquired through Kesef. So, we've established that when a Jew purchases property, and we can put under the category property is also an Evakanani, so that's done with Kesef. So, Mamonolo Kol Shekein. So when talking about the purchasing of not the real estate, not the property of the Jew, but we're talking about the movables, so for sure money should be the means of acquisition. So imkein afilibashav v'chazakanami. So the Gemara says, really? So if that's true, and all this is rooted in how a kinyan is affected with property, what we know, money is only one of three ways in which a kinyan is affected through property. Kesef shtar chazaka. So now we're going to translate that over to an Neve Kenani, and now we're going to move that through a kal v'chomer to the movable goods of a Jew. So then that should also be done through kesef shtar chazaka as well. V'od Yisrael miYisrael yochichu. So the Gemara says, and consider, we're talking about the acquisition from a Jew to a non-Jew, right? In either direction. So the Gemara says, what about when Jew to Jew? So degufe kanalei b'kesef mamona b'mashicha. Whenever you have a kinyan, an acquisition going from Jew to Jew, so we all know the halacha. The halacha is that when it comes to movables, it's with kesef. When it comes to property, when it's with movables, it's with mashicha, and when it's with property, it's kesef shtar chazaka. So we already know that there's a contrast between movable goods versus property. So it cannot be that this kal v'chomer is a solid kal v'chomer. So el amar abai b'dinehem. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, so we're going to have to reinterpret the word dinehem. What does dinehem mean? Shepaska lehem Torah. So the Gemara says regarding the laws that were outlined by the Torah. O kana miyana mitecha. So the Torah describes where there is going to be a purchase miyana mitecha. Two of these words are significant for the following reason. Miyan means from hand to hand. We're talking about movable goods, not property. Amitecha means a lantzman. He's another Jew. So, we now know that this pasuk is talking about where It is a transaction of movable goods. Amitecha, from one Jew to another Jew. Miyamitecha hu de mimashicha. And the Torah is telling us that when it comes to movable goods being transferred from one Jew to another Jew, that's affected through mashicha. Hamiyadu v'kochavim bekesef. And so therefore, what we're doing is we have to have a contrast. Meaning, if the Torah is telling us miyad amitecha, there's one means of acquisition. So that means when it's miyad, not amitecha, meaning the transactions between Jew and non-Jew, so it has to be in a different means. So if Jew to Jew is mashicha, that means Jew to non-Jew is going to be through kesef. So the aim of the Gemara says, okay, but it's a little bit arbitrary. Meaning, all we know is what the Torah says, and an inference from that pasuk. So the aim of the Gemara says, why don't we make the following suggestion? Maybe when it comes to a guy, so maybe there is no means of acquisition. Now it's a funny havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara right now sounds like, the simple pshat of the Gemara, is that it's entertaining the idea that the Torah allows for a means of acquisition between Jew to Jew, and the inference is that when it comes to Jew to non-Jew, there's no means of acquisition. Right? The Gemara is suggesting, is the Gemara really suggesting for a moment that even as a havamina, that there just simply is no means of acquisition between Jew and non-Jew, and that the Torah just simply does not recognize or acknowledge any transaction done between Jew and non-Jew, even as a havamina that's really strange. There is a Rashi. Rashi writes over here, klal klal lo, ad shetavo l'reshuso shel Yisrael lo kani. Even in the havamina, Rashi is not saying that the Gemara is negating the idea of transaction altogether. It just simply means that, you know, when a transaction is accomplished between Jew and non-Jew, there's no mechanism, there's no trigger. Meaning we're talking about the passing of money from one hand to another. We're talking about mishicha, picking it up and moving it in my direction. Meaning even in the havamina, the way Rashi understands it, maybe what the Gemara is saying is that when it comes to Jew and non-Jew in a transaction, the only way that a kinyan is affected is when the item just simply goes totally into my property. I paid for the item, it goes into my property, meaning it has to be a full transaction with no trigger that affects the kinyan. That's the havamin of the Gemara, as Rashi presents it. So Amri lo sakadacha, the kavachomer hu. So the Gemara says no. That's a havamina, and we're rejecting it for the following reason. In gufo kona, mamona lo kol shekein, if I can acquire a non-Jew, meaning his body, so for sure I can acquire his property, right? His movable property. So the Gemara says, so that just simply cannot be a conclusion. It's untenable. So the emam yado v'kochavim ad de'ika tarte. So the Gemara says, okay, look, we know miyad amitecha is coming to teach us that when it comes to Jew to Jew, it's mashicha. And we know that when it's Jew to non-Jew, there's a contrast. Maybe the contrast is that an acquisition is only affected when I do both kesef and mashicha. So Amri v'lav kavachomer hu gufa ba'achas mamona b'shtayim. So the Gemara says, but that can't be as well. When a Jew purchases the guf of a non-Jew, so there's only one method, one means of acquisition. And now you're going to tell me that when I'm buying his movable properties, there has to be two. The ema obaha obaha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the contrast is like this. When I'm buying movable goods from a Jew, it's mashicha. When I'm buying movable goods from a non-Jew, it could be either mashicha or kesef. Maybe that's the contrast. So the Gemara says, no, dumi yada mitecha, ma mitecha b'chada, fa v'kocha v'nami b'chada. So the Gemara says, no, because we need a consistency. If ba'amitecha, when doing transactions from Jew to Jew, there's only one method of acquisition. So Jew to non-Jew also is one method of acquisition. Okay, so what we have right now is the following pshat in Rav Oshia's statement. The first half of Rav Oshia's statement. When the Torah says bidinehem, when the Rav Oshia said bidinehem, put it simply, here's what it means. The Torah outlines that when a transaction is done from Jew to Jew on movable goods, mashicha. That's miyad amitecha. By virtue of the fact we know that there's a contrasting way of doing an acquisition between Jew and non-Jew, and to make a somewhat longer story shorter, the Gemara basically says it has to be another method because the Torah says miyad amitecha, so it can't be the same method done from Jew to Jew. So here's what we'll say. From Jew to Jew, mashicha. From Jew to non-Jew, kesef. Good. That's what he meant with the words bidinehem. Now we're going to go to the second half of Rav Oshia's statement. So first, a restatement of Rav Oshia, and now the Gemara analyzes. Now we're talking about a transaction where the non-Jew is making a purchase from a Jew. And the Gemara says, well, let's consider. Maybe this is what it means, bibidinehem. Now, when a non-Jew purchases a Jew, meaning right now the Jew is being treated as the slave, Now, obviously, when a Jew is being sold into slavery, so we're not talking about an Eved Kenani. In other words, by definition, a Jew is not an Eved Kenani. We're talking about, but still, the Eved is the Jew is being sold into Avdus, into slavery. Well, let's call it an Eved Ivri, right? Indentured servitude. So, when a Jew is being purchased from a non-Jew, so there we know it's Kesef. And we know because, once again, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Mikesef miknaso. When the Torah describes the situation of a Jew being sold into slavery by a non-Jew, so the Torah says kesef miknaso. The means of purchase was done with kesef. So that's clear. So mamona lo kol shekein. So if a non-Jew is purchasing the body of a Jew with kesef, so you don't mean to tell me that when purchasing the movable goods of a Jew, it's also done with kesef? Of course it's also going to be done with kesef, meaning we have what is called a kavachomer. So the Gemara says, okay, we have a kavachomer. I don't like the kavachomer. You saw me, you saw yochichu, degufo kanu bekesef mamona b'meshicha. Okay, let's look at a transaction from Jew to Jew, right? When you're purchasing the guf of the Jew, right? When one Jew is purchasing another Jew as a slave, and again, slave over here, not Eved Kenani, Eved Ivri. But it doesn't matter. In other words, the point is still that when I'm purchasing somebody's services, so that's done with kesef. And meanwhile, when I purchase his movable goods, so that's done with meshicha. So you see that the kavachomer doesn't work. The kavachomer is assuming, well, if a person's body is purchased one way, so his property, so his movable goods are also purchased the same way. It's certainly not true. So El Amar Rabbi, so the Gemara says, you're right. The kavachomer is not a good kavachomer. So we have to say the following. B'dinem shepaskal min Torah. Dineha means as outlined in the Torah. How does the Torah say it? V'chisim kru mimkar amitecha. So when you purchase from your amitecha, from your friend, from your neighbor, a lansman. So when going from Jew to Jew, it's be meshicha, right? That's the starting point of all this discussion. So when going and making a sale, meaning previously we were talking about where the Jew was purchasing from the non-Jew. Now we're talking about where the Jew is buying from the non-Jew. So here, again, it's a contrast. So the Gemara says, ve'em lakovecham klal klal lo. And now we're going to just do the same thing we did previously. Meaning, all we know is that when making a sale, when buying from a non-Jew, sorry, when buying from another Jew, that's with Meshicha. We now also know that contrast that to a non-Jew. But the contrast, how do I know that the contrast is necessarily Kesef? Maybe it is, and we're going to go through the same back and forth as we did previously. And I'm going to go through it quickly. Maybe the Gemara is saying that the contrast is that there simply is no transaction. And again, reference the Rashi that I referenced earlier in terms of this Havamin of the Gemara. So Amri Lav Kavachomerhu. Im Gufo Kona Mamona Lo Kol Shekein. So the Gemara says it can't be. If he could buy the body of a Jew, you don't think that non-Jew can buy the movable properties of a Jew? So Im Lo Vikochav Ma'adika Tarte. So the Gemara says, why don't we say that for a sale where the Jew is buying from where the non-Jew is buying from a Jew. So maybe there you need both Meshicha and Kesef, La Kavachomer. Hagufa Bechem, Amon B'Shtayim? No. If a non-Jew is going to buy the body of a Jew, so that's done with only one means of transaction. And you mean to tell me that when he's buying his movable goods, there has to be two? The Gemara says that's also just unreasonable. Ve'ema O Baha Baha, maybe it could be Kesef or Meshicha, as opposed to movable goods, which is only Bekesef. So the Gemara says, Domi Amitecha, the Gemara says that's also not possible because Ma'amitecha Bachas, Afa Vekochav Nami Bachas. So the Gemara says it can't be because when making a transaction from Jew to Jew, when one Jew is buying from another Jew, it's only one means of transaction, i.e. Meshicha. So too, when a non-Jew is selling to a Jew, there's only one means of transaction, and that's going to be Bekesef. Okay, and now as we have gone through the half an Amud of Gemara, so let's put it now in just simple terms. What have we all just learned together? It's actually really simple. When a transaction is done between Jew to Jew, so and it's movable goods, Meshicha. When it is property, so it's Kesef. When doing a transaction from Jew to non-Jew, based on the psukim in Parshas Beharn Bechu Kosai, where the Torah describes transactions between Jew to Jew done through Meshicha, and we know that's Be'amitecha, meaning that there has to be a contrast in how transactions are done between Jew and non-Jew. So the contrast is very simple. When effecting a sale between Jew and non-Jew on movable goods, Kesef, in either direction, whether buying from the non-Jew or selling to a non-Jew. When you're going from Jew to non-Jew, it's Kesef. And that's exactly what Rav Oshia said and meant. Rav Oshia said that if I have a Jew buying an animal from a non-Jew, so how is the transaction affected? Kesef. Before Mashiach, after Mashiach, Mashiach doesn't play a role. Mashiach only plays a role when it's Jew to Jew. When it's Jew to non-Jew, kesef.
It's only for movable.
Only for movable. Good. Adkan. And that takes us now to the next step of the Gemara. And the next step of the Gemara is addressing the opinion of a Maimar. Now, a Maimar does not agree. The Gemara for a Maimar is found primarily in the Gemara in the final chapter of Baba Basra. But the Gemara now says as follows. A Maimar is of the opinion that when you're doing a kinyan between a Jew and a guy, so that's done through Mashiach. Now, how does he arrive at that conclusion? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us how he arrives at that conclusion. But if that's so then that's going to throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into our whole discussion.
No contrast.
Right, because there's... Perfect. Because there's no contrast now, according to a Maimar. And so, Amri, le'ula Maimar, damar Mashiach, abo b'kocham kone. So according to the opinion of a Maimar, who says that the way that a Kenyan is affected between Jew and non-Jew is through Mashiach. So now it's going to get a little bit tricky. But before it gets a little bit tricky, let's take one step backwards. Okay, now... I've been saying up until this point, that when you're affecting a kinyan between a Jew and a Jew, so that it's done with Mashiach. I'm not going to waver from that. That's the Mishnah and Kiddushin. We know all that to be so. However, there's a little bit more behind that halacha. And so for just a moment, let's go over a little bit more behind that halacha. Okay. When doing a transaction between Jew and Jew, so Mashiach is a means of acquisition. So if I want to buy any movable item from you, so we could talk about price, I could give you money, but Kinyan is not affected until I take the item and pull it into my direction. Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? Now, let's go over both of these positions. Let's first start off by arguing that it's a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'oraisa because that is the means in which the Torah outlines how Kinyanim are done. Good. What if it's only a din d'rabbanan? What does that mean, it's only a din d'rabbanan? Maybe, and now I say maybe, by the way, this is going to be Rav Yochanan's opinion. Maybe the real method of kinyan, even when it comes to Jew to Jew, is money. Jew to Jew, it's really money. I give you the kesef, I give you the money to buy the item now becomes mine. And the Chachamim stepped in, and the Chachamim said, even though the Torah recognizes that as a method of kinyan, we are going to block the kinyan from occurring until Mashiach. Why would the Chachamim do that? And the answer is, we've said this so many times, but we get to say it again today, to protect the buyer. Right? This is the Chachamim's plan of buyer's protection. Because what's going to happen? If, let's say, I make a huge purchase, right? I'm going to buy a lot of grain that's in your silo, and I go over, we're going to agree to a price, I pay you the money, and now your silo catches fire. So you now, the seller, are thinking to yourself, you know, under normal circumstances, I do a lot to put out the fire. But it's not mine. And I know it's obviously the right thing to do. In other words, look, we got to be good people, right? It's a basic idea. But at the same time, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. I sold it already. So I'm not really that motivated or interested to put out the fire. And it's okay, fine. So you know what? Let's just let it burn. So the Chachamim understood that this is human nature. This is the way people operate. And so therefore, what the Chachamim did as a layer of protecting the buyer is to make the item not belong to the buyer until the buyer actually takes it. Okay.
Even if the money has passed in?
Meaning, despite the fact that I paid the money. Right, correct. So this is the understanding of Kinyanim according to Rav Yochanan. And so now, the Gemara is going to point out, so for a Maimar, who says that when making a transaction from Jew to non-Jew, it's done through Mashiach, and we know there has to be a contrast. Well, now the story gets a little bit trickier because it really depends on how do you look at transaction between Jew to Jew on a d'oraisa level. And now the Gemara is going to make all these points. I just laid it out. So hanicha, let me start even from the one line earlier. Amri. It works out perfectly if a Maimar subscribes to Rav Yochanan, right? And because let's just take stock. According to Rav Yochanan, min ha-Torah, how is Kinyanim done between Jew and Jew? It's done through money. Therefore, contrast that to Jew and non-Jew, Mashiach. it will come out to be the same, meaning I hope this point is clear, that because of the rabbinic institution of protecting the buyer, now it's going to come out that effectively they're both Mashiach, but that's only because of a rabbinic protection, a rabbinic institution that was instituted. But if I strip that away and I just look at the Da'araisa, there now is a perfect contrast. Jew to Jew, Minatora, money. Jew to non-Jew, Mashiach. Good. That works out great according to Amemar. Ela Isar, Vela Kareish Lakish, Damar Mashiach, Mufreshes, Minatora, Lamitecha, Mashiach, Ulavokacha, Mashiach, Lamitecha, Lamali. But now here comes the problem. If you subscribe to the opinion of Amemar, and you also subscribe to the opinion of Reish Lakish, you have now lost your contrast. Because according to Reish Lakish, the method of kinyan between Jew to Jew and Torah is Mashiach. According to Amemar, the method of transaction between Jew and non-Jew is Mashiach, Minatora. And now what does that leave us with? No contrast. So Amre, so they, in the base medrash, they heard the question, and they say, Lamitecha tamach zerona via tamach zerona lekanani. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it could be like this. Maybe Lamitecha is there to teach us an entirely different point. And that is the following. Maybe it's telling us a halacha regarding Onah. The halacha of Onah, as we discussed extensively back in Bava Metzia, is that I'm not allowed to overcharge for an item. Overcharging or charging for an item, we call this here in America fraud, price fraud, and so the Torah prohibits it. And we know the laws of Onah up to a six, right, mechila. At a six, that's Onah, but just simply return the difference. Above a six, mekach taus, right, the sale is voided. So the Gemara says that as far as Onah is concerned, maybe Lamitecha is there to tell us that when it comes to Lamitecha, Tamachzir Onah, via Tamachzir Onah, Lekanani. Maybe there is no return of Onah to a non-Jew. Maybe that's the contrast of the Torah, having nothing to do with the method of Kenyan, but having to do with a totally different halacha, the halacha of Onah. So the Gemara says, Lekanani me'al tanu isha esachiv nafka. What do you mean? We already knew this from another pasuk. The Torah says, when introducing us to the Isra of Onah in Parshas Bahar, al tonu ish es achiv. So already we know that the Torah prohibits Onah between Jew and non-Jew, but does not prohibit it between Jew and let me say that again correctly. The Torah prohibits Onah between Jew to Jew, but by virtue of that, we know that the Torah does not prohibit it between Jew and non-Jew.
So
it's tonu ash ish et achiv.
Achiv.
Correct. That's exactly the point. That the Yisrael of Onah only applies between Jew and Jew, not between Jew and non-Jew. So, chad b'kanani v'chad b'hektesh. So, utzricha. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe we could say like this. Maybe one is to tell us that there's no Yisrael Onah as it relates to a non-Jew, and there's no Yisrael Onah as it relates to hektesh as well. So the Gemara says, because if I only have one pasuk, I would have excluded it from a kanani, but not necessarily from hektesh. So the Torah comes to tell us that they're both excluded from the isurim of onah. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's consider the following. Gezel akum, right? Sensitive topic, obviously, but gezel akum. Is that mutter or is that asur? So oddly enough, at the end of Baba Kama, the Gemara debates this issue of whether or not Gzela Me'akum is going to be Asar, right? It's always important to highlight whenever having this discussion that you have to take Tosus's point into consideration. Even if you subscribe to the idea that Gezel Akum is going to be Mutter, that's only in a case where there's no Chilah Hashem. Once you're introducing Chilah Hashem into the discussion, so then there is no one who is going to allow for Gzela Akum. So Gezel Akum being Mutter, even as that is one opinion in the Gemara, that's only when there is no Chilah Hashem. But there is an opinion like that. So the Gemara says, so Ela Isav La Kamanda Amar Gzel Shokanani Mutter, but if you're of the opinion that Gezel Akum is going to be permitted, so Onah Mibaye, so if Gzela would be allowed from an Akum, so certainly Onah is just simply charging too much. That certainly would be allowed. So Amre Isav La Kamanda Amar Gzel Mutter Akarcha Karev Yochanan Svirle. So the Gemara says, well, look, now you're just backing us up into a wall. Meaning, you're absolutely right. If Gzelas Akum is Mutter, so that means then there's no need for a drasha by Onah. And if there's no need for a drasha by Onah, so this Amitecha now is there to teach about a contrast between Jew and non-Jew. And once you're demanding that there be a contrast between Jew and non-Jew, and Amemar is of the opinion that the means of transaction between Jew and non-Jew is done through Mashiach, and by definition there has to be a contrast, so then that means that Amemar holds like Reish Lakish. Meaning, what else am I going to tell you? Meaning, you're bothered by how can I fit Reish Lakish into the opinion of Rav Yochanan? You're ultimately going to have to say, maybe not. Maybe he doesn't fit. And maybe then it's just going to be that a Meimar holds like Reish Lakish. Fine. I'm sorry. Everything I said was correct. Just take out Reish Lakish and move in Rav Yochanan. Okay, fine. Meisvei. The Gemara now is going to challenge based on the following braisa. So what happens is as follows. You're going over to a non-Jew and you're making a purchase of metal. In other words, you're just, it's a scrapyard and you're buying some metals. And lo and behold, in other words, you thought it was just all metal, right? Scraps of metal. And meanwhile, what turns out now is that there are little trinkets of idols. Avodah Zarah. So actual Avodah Zarah, meaning little idols in the scrap metal. You certainly had no interest in purchasing it, and had you known, obviously, you wouldn't have purchased it. And so now, was there a kinyan, yes or no? So here's what the Braisa says. So, halakhechu tells menov kocham matzah ba'avodas kochavim. Imach lo nasa ma'os, mashach yachzer. If before the money was exchanged, and you did mishicha, no problem at all, just give it right back. Im mishinasan ma'os mashach, but if after you've given the money you have done mishicha, so what you need to do now is take any of the benefit that you received from that sale and throw it into the Dead Sea, meaning destroy it, meaning that the sale has been affected. Wait, just one second. Let's just first go step by step through the Gemara. Now, Iyamart Maus Karnos Mashiach Lamali. Now, we have been arguing, meaning, again, I know Amemar's position, we already spent half an hour discussing it, but let's go back to the statement of Rav Oshia, because that's where all this now is rooted in. Rav Oshia said that when it comes to a transaction between Jew and non-Jew, so the means of transaction is going to be kesef. So over here, the Gemara is wondering, in this brisa we just learned together, so what are we doing having a discussion about Mashicha? Mashicha should be wholly irrelevant when talking about a transaction between Jew and non-Jew. You made a purchase of metal from a non-Jew. So over here, the means of transaction should be kesef, period. And the Gemara asks exactly this question. So what are we doing with Mashicha? Why is the Braisa at all taking into consideration with Mashicha? In fact, look at the second half of the Braisa again. I'm just going to go back. If after you have given the money, then you did Mashicha, so now it's too late. What do you mean it's too late when you did Mashicha? Wasn't it too late when you gave the money? Like, what's going on over here? If you're Rav Oshia, how are you reading the Braisa? It's a simple question. So, the Gemara says, well, look, when sitting down and having a transaction, they said as follows. You and I know, meaning this is now a Jew and non-Jew, having a discussion prior to the transaction. You and I know that when affecting a sale, it's done between you and I through money, as per the opinion of Rav Oshia. Here's what I would like. I would like the terms of this transaction to go under Jewish law, right? I like Jewish law. I like Jews. I like Jewish law. I want to follow Jewish law. And when it comes to any kind of monetary transaction, you could set the terms. And so maybe that's what the Bryce is dealing with, a case in which the terms were basically set. We adjusted the dial to this is going to be treated like a transaction between Jew and Jew. And they agreed to that at the beginning. So the Gemara says, Ihachi maus amali. Okay. So that's fine. So then, why are we having a discussion about the money? Meaning, why is money at all playing into the role of this? If we're talking about the transaction between Jew and Jew, well, there's only one means of acquisition, and that's Mashicha. So then, why is the Braisa talking about money? So Hachi comes, the Gemara says, okay, but here's how you could read the Braisa. Alpha pishanasama osi mashach ini lolo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that's exactly what the Braisa means. So even though the money was given, Mashicha is going to be the only method of kinyan. So, Ihachi Kasha Reisha. So, the Gemara says, okay, you did a great job reading the second half of the Braisa. First half of the Braisa. Let's read it together, the first half of the Braisa. Im achelo nasan ma'os mashach yachzir. If the money has not been exchanged and you did Mashicha, you can give it back. What? What are you talking about? We just said together that the Braisa is dealing with a case where we set the terms in which we're going to be operating like Jews, like one Jew to another. And Mashicha is going to be the method of transaction. And you're telling me that's the case of the Braisa? But the Braisa says you did Mashicha, and now you can just give it back. No, you can't give it back. You've acquired it. So all this obviously is difficult. The Gemara is going to give a couple of suggestions, a number of suggestions. Amar Abai Reisha Mishim Deika Mechach Taus. So maybe look, the terms of transaction is going to be Mashicha. Good, very good. And maybe the first half of the braisa, the reason why you get to return it, even though you did a mashicha, is very simple. Because there was not a proper understanding on the part of the buyer in terms of what he was buying. Meaning, you said I'm selling you scraps of metal, and meanwhile they're idols. I go back home, I open up the box, and I have little idols over here. That's mekach taos. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava, Resha Mishum Deika mekach taos, Sefa Leka mekach taos. Okay, I kind of hear your argument, but in the second half of the Braisa, the sale is finalized. Isn't there a mekach taos in the second half of the Braisa as well? What are you going to say about that? Now, in just a moment, we're going to hear what Abai has to say about that, because that's really a wonderful question. But Elam Rava, but before that, Rava says, no, I'll say it like this. Reisha v'seifa mekach taos, Reisha de lo yav zuza, lo mechzei kavodes kochavim, b'yad Yisrael, seifa de yav zuza, mechzei kavodes kochavim b'yad Yisrael. So Rava says, look, it really is a mekach taos. You have to say it's a mekach taos, right? I purchased what I thought was going to be scraps of metal. I open up the box, and it turns out that there are little idols in there. It's a mekach taos. However, so and really fundamentally in both cases, mekach taos, so that is, right, where we don't not have an understanding of what you sold to me. I thought it was one thing, it turned out to be another. Okay, so in other words, so sales voided. And in both cases of the braisa, the sale should really be voided. However, in the second case of the braisa, consider, mashicha was done. I also gave money. So from a perception standpoint, even though it was a mekach taos, from a perception standpoint, it looks like I have now made an acquisition on of little idols, of little trinkets, and so therefore I have to destroy it. That's the second half of the braisa. We'll call it a din derabanan, according to Rava. That's Rava's understanding. Abaye, now we go back to Abaye. Va'abaye amalacha reshach mekach taos lo yada dahalo yaiv leizuze. Abai says, I'm going to go back to my pshat, and I'm going to defend my pshat. The first half is a mekach taos, second half is not a mekach taos. Why? Because take the following into consideration. It's basically, the difference is going to be due diligence. In the first half of the braisa, so we agreed in terms to a sale, and we also agreed in terms that we're going to do a transaction like Jew to Jew. Fine. And so mashicha could be a method of kinyan. So what did I do? I did mashicha. I didn't give the money yet. So at this point in time, so even though the sale has been done transactionally wise, but I thought it was scraps of metal, I opened it up and it turns out to be little idols. So you know what? Sale voided. Mekach taos. In the second half of the braisa, this is a Abai's explanation. In the second half of the braisa, I also paid money. Now wait one second. And now, obviously, we're the method of transaction is mashicha. Again, those were the terms of the deal. But once I now hand them over money, so shouldn't there be on my behalf even a greater responsibility to look at the product and see exactly what's being sold? And Abai is arguing exactly this point. Once money's being handed over from one to the other, from the Jew to the non-Jew, ki kamashich ibay le'iyune v'hadar mimshach. Meaning that person right now already has my money. And now I'm ready to take the item. At this point in time, I should make sure exactly what I am being moshech. I shouldn't just simply take the box, close, sight unseen. Oh yeah, that's what it is. Okay, great. But at this point in time, it behooves me to open it up and take a look inside and see what's inside of it. So Abai says that the first half where no money was transacted, no money was given, so therefore that is mekach taos. In the second half, he's arguing that it's not a mekach taos because it was my responsibility to look inside and see what it was. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar, Midereisha Mashicha Eino Kone Seifa Nami Mashicha Eino Kone. So, and Rav Ashi says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to reboot the entire Braisa. The Braisa, the Kinyan is not affected through Mashicha. It's not. In other words, the Kinyan is affected through money. Meaning like Rav Oshia taught us in the beginning of the entire Sugya, that when going from Jew to non-Jew, Kesef is going to be the means of acquisition. Fine. And midrash mashicha nakona sefer nami mashicha nakona v'ayde tani resha mashach tani sefer nami mashach. And just for style and paralleling the two halves of the braisa, we only introduced mashicha in the second half of the braisa because in the first half of the braisa we had the term mashicha over there, but that really was not the significant point. The significant point was money handed over, yes or no? If it was, transaction accomplished. If it was not, transaction not accomplished. That is Rav Ashi's understanding. One more. Ravina Amar midaseifa mashicha kona resha nami mashicha kona. Ravina says that in the seifa mashicha is a way of kinyan, resha also mashicha is going to be kona. Veresha hachi kamar. Im lo nasam v'lo mashach yachzor. So, if there was no... if there was no giving of the money and no Mashicha, so then Yachzor. So my Yachzor, Yachzor b'dvarim. And the way Ravina understands the Braisa goes like this. Right now we agreed in terms to the purchasing of scrap metal. And I didn't do Mashicha, I didn't give any money. In other words, no transaction, no act affected the transaction. But we agreed in principle that I was going to do it. Now, we agreed in principle that I was going to make the sale, but because now we discover that there are little trinkets inside, little idols inside, so now I can back away from the deal, even though what I gave was a verbal commitment. And as per the Gemaras in Bava Metzia, when you make a verbal commitment, so it is binding. Now, when I say binding, so in other words, it is not that the transaction has been accomplished, it's not that I've purchased it, meaning, but at the same time, however, the Gemara Bava Metzia says, if you say you're going to buy something, so you have to keep to your word. Now, when I say have to, you can't be taken to Beis Din. You're not going to, Beis Din cannot take the item away from you. Beis Din cannot take the money out of your hands. But in other words, just as a person of your word, so if you say you're going to do something, you got to do it. And so over here, however, you don't have to be, you don't have to commit to your word, because now you discovered that the sale is not over scrap metal, but there are little trinkets inside. My yachzor yachzor b'dvarim, kasar v'dvarim yesh b'hem, mishum mechusrei amana, v'hanim el Yisrael miyisrael, dekaime b'diburayu, ava Yisrael me'ovek kocham, de'inu lo kaime b'diburayu lo. This idea that you got to commit to your word, that's only going when, it's only disgusting when going from one Jew to another Jew. But when talking about from a Jew to an akum, so under those circumstances, so you don't necessarily have to keep to your word. When they negotiate with one another, so they know that, right, they say things, they don't necessarily mean it. So when they're talking to you, they operate under the same premises. They say things, but they don't necessarily mean it. So even though you made verbal commitments, even though under normal circumstances, you got to keep your verbal commitments, but when negotiating between a Jew and an Akum, not necessarily you don't have to keep to your verbal commitments. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
I said, what about Kiddush Hashem?
Right, in other words, correct. If there is a, right, the as I mentioned earlier in the Gemara, when it comes to Gezel Akum, once Chil Hashem becomes, plays a role, so then that's obviously something to consider. I'd say the same thing over here.
In the Brit, it says that you get the value and put it in the Dead Sea, but why not the actual idol that you discovered, put it in the Dead Sea? Why the value? Why not destroying the idol itself?
No, in other words, once you take hold of it, that's what the Braisa means.
It says take the value.
I understand. Understood.
The actual idol and put it in the Dead Sea.
Meaning, if there was a, in other words, even if you're on the other side of the transaction, meaning
you got it, and you paid and everything done right.
Right.
And you discard the item. It says you
correct
take the value and put it.
I understand. I understand your point. Your point. No. If you're on the receiving end of the idol, so then of course you're going to take the idol and throw it. What if it goes in the other direction? What if, let's say, you sold it now and you benefited from that? So then that also is
after you got it,
right? Okay. We are now on the very top of Yudal Amud Aleph, and we start with today's daf. And so we're going to gain a little bit of ground, because this daf actually we did not so long ago towards the end of Masechet Chulin. Exact same Mishnah, exact same format. Over there we discussed it regarding Matanos. Here we're discussing it regarding Bechora. Good, but it's the same Mishnah. And here's what we all know, but we get to review. When you have an animal that has a blemish, a permanent blemish on it, so at this point in time, it's not hukar v'lagabe mizbeach. It can't be offered on the mizbeach. If I makdish such an animal, if I sanctify it, so what I'm doing basically is giving it kedushas damim. It's only value kedusha, but it's not intrinsically kadosh because it can't be offered as a karban. However, on the other hand, if the animal did not have a physical blemish and I was makdish that animal, so the animal now is what's called kedushas haguf. And you cannot redeem kedushas haguf. Kedushas damim, you can redeem all day, any day, anytime you want. Kedushas haguf is non-redeemable. But let's say now, after I was makdish the animal as a perfect animal, but then it developed a blemish, so now I have an option of redeeming it. But even as an option of redeeming it, so this animal now is going to have a residual kedusha. This is what's called psulei hamukdashim. And with this residual kedusha, so it is highly restricted in terms of the things that you could do with this animal. You don't have to offer it as a carbon. In fact, you can't offer it as a carbon, but it's going to be highly restricted. What is the restrictions regarding psulei hamukdashim? You can only eat it. That's it. You can't even milk it. You can't breed it. You can't have it produce offspring. You can't work it. The only thing you could do is eat it. That's it. Period. Okay? And with that stated, so let's see a mission together. If the blemish comes before you were makdish it, so that means to say that it only has kedushas damim. Vinifdu. And after you redeem it, so what kind of animal is it? The answer is very simple. It's a regular animal. It's chulin. So chayav mebechora. So if it gives birth for the first time, it's going to be chayav in the mitzvah of bechor. That firstborn is going to have kedushas bechor. Uva matanus an. When you shecht, you're going to have to give zor lechayav keva over to a kohen. V'yotzin lechulin ligazus v'le'aved. And when it's redeemed, you could do. You could shear it. You could work it. V'ladam v'chaba mutar. Its offspring and its milk are going to be permissible. La'achar pidyonam. After it's been redeemed. V'hashochtan b'chutz pater. If I shecht it outside the base of Mikdash, I'm going to be exempt. It's not an isser of shchut echutz. V'inosin temura. It cannot affect the temura. Even while it has the kedusha. V'imeso, because it's not a carbon. V'imeso yipadu. And even if it's dead, you could redeem it. Ah, you're not allowed to redeem a carbon after it died. This isn't a carbon. Meaning this is just has kedushas damim. Chutz min ha-bechor min ha-meiser. The only exception, the only notable exceptions to this rule is bechor and meiser. When it comes to bechor and meiser, even if the blemish comes before it was received, the kedushas bechor, kedushas meiser, it's going to have the kedushas carbon. Those are the notable exceptions, and we will discuss those exceptions later in the Gemara, not today. V'choshe kadam hekdesham es mumam, o mum over lehekdesham, ula achim ikan nolahem mum kavua, v'niftu. Now let's contrast that with a case where the animal was a non-blemished animal, or even if it had a temporary blemish, but that's a mum over, and halachically that's not significant. And I was makdish the animal, which now means that it has kedusha sagof, and now, afterwards, it develops a blemish. Now, patur min bechor min matanos, it's going to be exempt from bechor and matanos. We will discuss that in the Gemara in terms of why that should be. Ve'ena yotzen l'chulin ligazus v'le'aved. And even after it develops a blemish, and even after I redeemed it, it has residual kedusha. And so therefore, it cannot be sheared, it cannot be worked. V'ladim v'chal ben aser. Its milk and, sorry, its offspring and its milk are going to be prohibited. La'achar pidyonam, even after it's been redeemed. Ha'shochtem b'chutz chayav. Once it develops a blemish and I shecht it outside the base of Mikdash, I'm going to be chayav for the Isser of Shechut Echutz. That is obviously very difficult to understand. Something with a blemish that cannot be offered in the base of Mikdash, I'm not going to be liable for shechting it outside the base of Mikdash. That part's true. Rashi over here says, we saw this back in Chulin as well, you have to say over here that the blemish that we're discussing over here is a minor blemish, what the Gemara describes as Dukin Shabayin, a cataract of the eye, and under those circumstances, it is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that with such an animal, it shouldn't be shechted as a carbon, but if it is and it went up to the Mizbech, so lo yardu, don't take it off the Mizbech. So under limited circumstances, it could be offered as a karban, and so therefore you're going to be in violation of shchut echutz if you shecht it outside. V'osin tamor, and it can affect tamor, v'imesu yikabru, and if it dies, you have to bury it, meaning you cannot redeem it after it died. And again, all this is going to be discussed in much greater detail as we go through the Gemara. Okay, taima d'niftu. So now we are going all the way back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and we're talking about where it was redeemed. Lo niftu patur min ha-bechora, o min ha-matanos. Now, that means to say as follows. That when an animal, remember, first half of the Mishnah, we're talking about kedushas damim, not kedushas agof. The animal had a physical blemish, a permanent physical blemish, and then it was makdish the animal. So this animal only has kedushas damim. And let's say while this animal was in a state of kedushas damim, it gives birth for the first time. But not after I redeemed it, before I redeemed it. So, sounds like from the Mishnah, that firstborn is not going to have status of bechor. And the Gemara says, and that is inferred from the Mishnah, and that's a good inference. Meaning the Mishnah is of the opinion that because the animal has kedushas damim, it only has value kedusha, but still, that's enough kedusha to push away any status of bechor. And also matanus as well. Fine. V'yotzin l'chulin. And it goes to chulin. Time of the niftu, halo niftu, asir begizav avoda. So the Gemara says now, the reason behind our Mishnah is because it was redeemed. If it was not redeemed, so you cannot work it, and you can't shear it. Misayil el Rabbi Elazar, damar kache bedekabais, asir begizav avoda. Now he's of the opinion that if I have kache bedekabais, it's going to be prohibited for both giza and avoda. I cannot shear it, and I cannot work it. Amri lo. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Kedushas damim lemizbechu demichlefei. Bedushas Haguf. Lemizbeach Gazer Behu Rabbanan Avakashi Bedekabaislam. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Look, if it was just up to our Mishnah, our Mishnah is talking about something which is Kedushas Bedekabais. Kedushas Bedekabais means that when you were Makdish the animal, you were Makdish the animal simply for the purposes of temple funds. In other words, all this was just simply a way of the Beis HaMikdash gaining revenue. And it was, in other words, even from the very beginning, it never was in a position to be offered up onto the Mizbeach. Something with only Kedushas Bedek Habayis, so for something like that, you can do pretty much whatever you would like with it after it's redeemed. You could shear it, you could shear it and you could work it. However, if we're talking about an animal that is going to either be offered for the Mizbeach or its proceeds are earmarked for the Mizbeach, so under those circumstances, that animal can easily be confused with an animal that's going to go up onto the Mizbeach, and maybe for that, Rav Elazar says, that animal is not to be sheared nor worked. So basically, what we're doing over here in the Gemara is we're dividing between two different types of Kedushas Damim. Kedushas Damim, where it's just serving as a method of gaining revenue for the Beis HaMikdash, for that, you could shear it, you could work it, meaning after you redeem it. You could shear it, you could work it, no problem whatsoever. Masha Enkein, when talking about an animal where either it or its proceeds are going to be used as a karban, so then you cannot shear it and you cannot work it even after it's been redeemed. Okay. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up on the very bottom of the Amud. Gained a little bit of traction today. And so let's quickly recap. We spent most of our morning discussing right now, this morning, talking about how transactions are done between a Jew and a non-Jew. Rav Oshia says Kesef. Amemer says Meshicha. And from those two positions, basically, it is then a lengthy discussion in the Gemara. How did you understand our Mishnah? How do you understand numerous Braisos? Meaning, you start with those two opinions, and then from there, the whole discussion flows. How does that contrast between transaction done between Jew and Jew? How does that interplay between the opinions of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish in terms of how kinyanim are done between Jew and Jew? So that's where we spent the majority of our time doing, a lengthy discussion and a little bit of an intricate discussion in the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, or the second half of what we did, first half of today's daf, is the Mishnah on Yedalah that talks about Kedushas Damim versus Kedushas Haguf. Kedushas Damim, where it just has value Kedusha, so once it's redeemed, the animal now is a regular chulin animal. For Kedushas Haguf, where the animal was designated to be offered as a karban, and then it develops a blemish, and then I redeem it. So under those circumstances, the animal has residual Kedusha with heavy restrictions, and all I could do is just eat it. You can't work it. You can't milk it. You can't breed it. And then what we learned in the Mishnah are many other details regarding this distinction between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Haguf.